Moro moro, a very good morning to you. Goeiemôren, hoe gaan dit met julle? So, good morning, my dear listeners. It's a Saturday morning, the 11th of the 10th month of the year, the month that we call October. And, well, as usual, at this time, between 11 to 1 o'clock is the time that we call a mental health hours. So, and this is actually Mind Matters, where this is the show where we unpack your thoughts, untangle your emotions, and build a stronger and healthier you. That's what we do here. Welcome, wherever you find yourself, whether in and outside the border of this country, you're most welcome. And maybe that's the time also you should be downloading the Eagle FM mobile app, so that wherever you are, you could be anywhere in the world. You could be in Russia, you could be in Singapore, you could be in Peru, you could be in China, wherever you are. You could be anywhere, you would be able to connect and listen to Eagle FM and at any time, anywhere in the world. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM app so that you remain connected to Eagle FM anywhere. You don't miss anything, all right? So welcome. It's a Saturday morning, a very hot Saturday morning. It's quite hot. Especially from this part of the world, it's really, really, really hot. And even my, I don't know what's wrong with my aircon here. Doesn't really breeze cold wind enough. So it's quite still hot in here. It's quite hot in here. So, all right. Welcome. As usual, my name is Mike, Oshoveli. I'm your host. And this morning we are talking about men's mental health. It's more like we continue more or less in the same topic. It has been all like this. I think something that Franz have talked about a little bit in the morning. I think he talked about that in the morning. He also talked about men. That if we don't change, we're going to die like our old what? So something he talked about in that line. And then there were also discussion on Social Times on Helene, with Helene, on men as well. It looked like today it's all about men. So, yes, that's what we're going to talk about, the mental health. Especially we're going to do that because, you know, this month, it's a month of commemorating. Is it commemorating? Would you say commemorating or what would you say? It's not commemorating. So yeah, it's a commemoration. So it's a World Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Month commemoration. So at 11:30, I will have a senior health program officer specialized in mental health from the ministry, from the Directorate of Primary Health Care in the Ministry of Health and Social Service. And we're going to talk about, she's going to share the significance of Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Awareness Month in Namibia, and the Ministry of Health objectives to what are they trying to achieve during this period. So we're going to look at some of that. Make sure that you tune in at 11:30, just about 13 minutes to go. Please make sure that you stay tuned. We're going to talk to her, and she have quite a lot that she will be discussing with us. So, yeah, maybe that would also help your organization, your community, or your church, or whatever, how you can organize to create awareness, prevention awareness, suicide prevention awareness. And you may never know also, she might be talking about where you can actually find facilities, where you can actually find help if you find yourself. I will be definitely asking her on those, some of those of things. Make sure that you tune in 11:30, we will be diving into those aspects. So welcome, and if you're just joining us, this is Mind Matter. As usual, as I always invite you, this is a show that we look at, you know, aspects, especially, you know, those psychological patterns and social aspect, you know, that affect how you think and how you feel and how you make choices, how you behave in life. So, and if you're just joining us, you are actually on the right platform, and you're most welcome. So, yeah, as I said earlier on, I intend to add input on men's mental health. And how many minutes I have before her conversation? It's about 11 minutes. Okay. Okay, we're going to start. So we're going to start, and then when she comes, we go into, well, it's the same. It's exactly the same discussion we have, but I'm just adding some input on men mental health. Since this is actually the topic about mental health, and specifically we pinpointing out men, given that the situation, given that the statistically we see a lot and a lot of men taking their own lives, sometimes because of what men are going through mentally, and so. Let's start talk about it. We talk about it as much as there are issues that we can't get tired of talking about it, because, you know, the more we talk about it, maybe the better, the more it will get into our head. So the more it get into our, you know, into our skull and be able to make a change. So we are doing this also because we are concerned about our men. You know, we're concerned about men because many of them are really taking their own life. And that's something, it has become a crisis, come to a point where this is more of a crisis rather than, you know, some kind of a phenomenon. So, and that's why we program like these, dedicated topic like this on a program like this, so for us to talk about issues like this. And you might be thinking men's mental health isn't just mental health. Well, yes it is. At the core of it, yes it is. Okay, but I love that word but all the time, so I need to find a way not to say but. Okay, however. Yeah, so I want to replace it with however. So one thing that I want you to understand here, okay? And I'm inviting you, even women, when we talk about men's mental health, I want you to, you are the one, especially women, you are the one that I want you to sit there and listen. You don't move. You don't move an inch. I want you to listen. And I'm ordering you, all right? I'm ordering you, okay? No, I'm inviting you. Okay, so I'm not ordering. So that what we want to understand is this, and I'm probably gonna follow it up this after the interview if I still have enough time. So because I want to look at some facet that are specific to men, either psychologically, socially, culturally, you know, and those are some aspects that I really want us to get into. So, but what I want you to understand is this, as I said. Now, anyone can say, you may think that, well, mental health, men's mental health isn't that just mental health? Is it how different it is? So, and what I want to say is that we, either woman or man, experience this world. We experience this world, you know, in different way. Our experiences, our pressures, the pressures that men go through and the pressures that women go through. And even our biology, even our biology, and I'm just mentioning this, can shape, whether it's your experience, whether it's the pressure that you go through, whether it's even your biology, you know, can shape how we perceive. I want you to understand, can actually shape how we perceive, how we express, and how we cope with mental well-being. And men, how they cope with mental issues and conditions, it's different from how a woman actually do that. So remember, if you're coming from a background as a man where you're told you have to man up, you gotta man up. So that means when you are going through a certain, you know, when you're going through a certain, you know, emotional condition, distress, when you're going through distress, you know, that message, it's popping up in your head that tells you, you gotta man up. So what does that mean now? What does it mean for this particular man? You gotta man up. What does that mean? It could be, why would I go? How many men that you really find that you know that love going to hospital? Like immediately when they're sick, they kind of like, I'm going to the hospital. You have to force them. You have to drag them to the hospital. Well, there are those. There are exceptions, but we're talking generally. How many men really love to go to the hospital? And you probably said, you are the one who's sick. Why don't you want to go? You're probably thinking as a woman, you're the one who's sick. Why don't you want to go? That's why I'm saying our experience, our pressure, and even our biology can shape how we perceive, how we express, and how we cope with mental well-being. And those are the things that comes in play, you know, when we talk about the reason why I go to this extent is for you, if you go into your car and the car doesn't start, sometimes you don't even know where to start. I can start to think, is it an ignition? Is it, you know, I can go on and on, but I have no idea at all, because I don't know how the system, you know, I don't know completely know the system, how it works, but a mechanic can immediately think it's maybe it's this, maybe it's this, and that, and that, and that. So because you understand the system. So the whole idea is that the better you understand how your mind works, you know, based on either a psychological, you know, aspect, or based on a social aspect, or based on a cultural aspect, or based on any other things, we all made up by the person you are is made up all by all these facets, psychological, social, cultural, you know, you name it. That actually what made you up. So, and in the way how you behave would be actually determined by these facets. You are not just a horror somebody who just, you know, act in a way. So that is very important. And that's why, as I said, most of the time I focus in detail in this aspect for you to understand, how do you process your thinking? How do you process your emotion? How do you come to behave in a certain way? You know? And once you understand that, you will be able now to know, okay, where you need to change, how to change behavior. So because you know how your brain and everything, how your mind works, and how you behave eventually. So this morning we are going to explore now these unique facets that are really particular relevant, especially relevant to the men in our lives. So could be your partner, it could be your father, it could be your brother, it could be your friends, and yes, it could be ourselves as well. So I think that's very important. So we as men, often had, you know, those phrases like man up, as I said, those are ingrained. They are ingrained in us. And from childhood, you know, from childhood stories to, you know, to the locker room banter, you know, when we have banter with each other, you know, as men, there is this pervasive, if you like, a pervasive idea that men supposed to be strong, stoic, resilient, and always in control. So remember that. That's how you made up from childhood. And I said, from childhood to your high school and universities and, you know, playing football and wherever in any other circles, you know, there's that idea that you gotta be strong, you know, wherever, with either whether you are with other boys or with other men, you know, the most feared, the most respected is the most strong one, the most stoic one, the most resilient one, the one is always seem to be in control. So, and while strength, you know, while strength is a wonderful trait. Now I want to now to put that when somebody from early age up to when you turn 25 or whatever the case may be, that you have been always, this has been always the idea of a man. That's the idea of a man, supposed to be strong, you know, always in control, you know, stoic, and resilient. So now, the strength, you know, the whole, the, you know, while the strength is a wonderful trait, as I said, this is a wonderful trait. Now, there comes a time when does that expectation, because that's what you expected, so when does this expectation become a cage? So as much as are traits that are very good, when do they become a cage? When do this, you know, trait enslave you? So what does that pressure to man up actually lead to? You know? So it maybe leads to men suffering in silence. And that's what we will be diving into after our discussion with our senior officers from the ministry. So we will do that at the end of that. We will look at some of those aspects. So make sure that you tune in for that as well. So I'm going to reach out to my guest and then we will look at what she has for us. So stay tuned. We will definitely be back. So let me leave you now by, while I'm calling her, maybe with Chincliffe. You know, I can see, you know, don't sing, Mike. You know, otherwise people will run away. All right, I Can See Clearly Now by Jimmy Cliff.
I am feeling very Olympic.
It's gonna be a bright, bright, bright sunshine.
Welcome back. And if you just joining us, this is Mind Matters. And yep, I have been trying to get our guest, which I did. I spoke to her and she's telling me, okay, I will be finished within probably, apparently she's in the bank now. Yeah, so yeah, let's give her some time and then we can go back to her. So yeah, so let's do that. Yeah. Yes. Where did we end up? Yeah. I was asking the question that, you know, because what we're talking today, we're talking about men, mental health. And I was saying that one thing that is very important, why we say, probably why we look at men, mental health is just mental health. I said earlier on that the importance of that is that as a man, you experience the world different. You know, your experience, your pressure, and I was talking about your biology, definitely those aspects, those quality or those traits, whatever you may call it, can shape how we as a man or even as a woman, those can actually shape how you perceive and how you express and definitely how you cope with mental well-being. So, and I was saying, you know, this whole question of man up, you should be man up. You know, those phrases we have heard when we were from very small age to whatever age, which actually still up to now, even if you're a woman, they can actually tell you, if you always, you know, wake up, you know, sitting at home, doing nothing or whatever, there will become a time where they will tell, hey, you got men up. You must, you know, you must be a man. Do you understand? So, as I said, that is actually ingrained. It's ingrained in us. From the early ages of our childhood to all the stages of our life, because either when we are when we are in a boy circles, when we are wherever you are actually always competing. A man is always competing, you know, competing to be the best. That's what you expected. So you are competing all the time to be the best, you know, to be strong, to be resilient, to be always in control, you know, and to be stoic, all that. So this is something new. Maybe a woman out there, why are you competing? You compete for everything. You compete for better, you know, you compete that you must have a better house than the other person. You must compete that you have a better car than the other person. You must compete that you have a better woman than the other. You must compete. You know, everything for a man is about competition, because that's how you. And remember, this trait has been instilled, you know, if you like, instilled in us from the early age. It was not intended. Remember that it was not intended as something seen to be to be of no value to you. You understand? It's because we understand that the world that you're going to, you have to be strong. Because there's nothing you get, you know, if you're not strong enough, you will be at the back of the line. As a man, if you're not strong enough, you're at the back of the line. So if you're not strong enough, you will always get the ugly ones. And the good one, the beautiful one goes to the stronger ones. You know? So that's why some of these aspects, you know, we have to understand where the man is coming from. And my question then is when it's actually then. So this, remember that we are expected now to have this trait, you know, which are wonderful traits. You also have to understand, these are wonderful traits. And those who succeed, you know, in some way or another, well, display this kind of trait. But when do this expectation, when does that expectation become a cage? When do they become something that actually enslave you? You know, when does the pressure to man up actually lead to men suffering and suffering sometime in silence? Because, you know, you don't want to show weaknesses. It's not something that you are allowed to show in any way. Eh? So remember when you come home, let's say, for example, you come home crying and said, so-and-so has beaten me, and that the who have ever beaten you, the boy or whoever have beaten you, if it's of your same size, of your same age. What? Your parents will ask, who has beaten you? No, sir, Tommy has beaten me. How old is Tommy? Tommy Wogongadi, eh? Oh, you will be beaten again. So, as you grow up, you are not allowed to express those, you know, to express defeat. Do you understand? That is, it's ingrained in our mind. It's ingrained in our brain from the early age that, you know, defeat is no go area. Eh? Defeat is no go area. From early age already. Eh? That is, has been instilled in you. So these are the things now. When we talk about this, sometimes we quickly just, we have to understand these facets because they are important to how men and women think, men and women behave, how you express your emotions. And unless you understand those, there is no way you can connect. There is no way you can understand, or there is no way you can be able to help. All right? So, now, let's start with the psychological landscape, okay? From your young age, boys are often socialized, to suppress emotion. They might perceive as weak. Do you understand? I just give an example. That if you come home, you are crying because a boy of your age actually has beaten you up. That's cowardness. That's being weak. Do you understand? So the parents would even beat you up. So, so you're beaten by so-and-so. So you're such a coward. So what does that, you know, that create? When that happened, that an incident happened when now you were growing up, what does that instill in you? What message are you getting from there? Eh? So remember also if you fall and scrape your knees, you know, what is the common parental response? What would the parent would say to you? Don't cry. Eh? Be a big boy. So you always try, hey, don't cry, be a big boy. So from the early ages already, from the early age of your age, you are told, you know, don't feel the pain. Don't cry, be a big boy. Eh? That's what you're told. So in that case, it was not like, The whole idea, the intention is, it was actually, intention usually is to encourage resilience. You understand? So it was to encourage resilience, to encourage, you know, it was not intended. Unintended consequences can be a learned behavior of emotional repression then. You understand? So where there are two things that are coming out of this. One is that, you know, the whole encouragement is encouragement of resilience. You're being encouraged to be resilient. Not just a little something happened to you and you're crying and all that. So you are being encouraged to be resilient to hurt and to disappointment and all that. But at the same time, it has an intended consequences. The intended consequences is now you learn behavior of emotional repression. You understand? So all your life as you're growing up, maybe to up to this stage, you learn behavior to repress your emotions. You understand? Because you want to be resilient. That message always there in your mind, you know? So get up, don't cry, be a big boy. So that's always in your mind. And you ingrain, and it's ingrained, you know, ingrained in your mind as a principle, as a value. Remember now, that has become a value. And it has become a principle in a way that, you know, as a man, this is what I need to be. Because that is what recognized in the society. So it's not an easy thing just to say, no. You can just, you know, some people make it simple. Well, if you coming from a European side where this has been allowed, you know, the respect of children, how they feel and how they should express their emotions has been something that has been in a Western culture. Well, now get me right. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that's the best way in a certain sense, like in terms of where now we learned a behavior of emotional repression in our culture. Yes, definitely in the Western culture, that's a good thing because the people learn to express themselves. So, but then you may also then, you know, create a culture of men that are weak. You understand? Of that, even if war comes, you have all this, who don't even know, who are non-binary. Who think I'm neither man nor female. So, you know, you understand? So, all, you can't say, well, that's good, that's bad. No, it's just that, you know, the way, given the situation in which the people were then requires this type of people with this type of character. And sometimes men who brought us up are coming from that culture and they only give what they know. Maybe as we now grow and start to understand and looking at the world differently, so we started to think, well, it's good for a man to express their emotions. Because we see the consequences of that now in a way we look at things. So, now, you see that over time now, this whole way of looking at things, or the way of, you know, as I said that, you know, the intention is usually to encourage resilience, be strong, be in control, and there's also an unintended consequences, which is then you learn behavior of emotional repression. So, and over time, this can lead to a disconnect from one's own feeling, because you're never allowed actually to feel. So, you understand? So now, and that make it difficult. It make it difficult for men. Men might not, men might struggle. And I know this from counseling point of view, you know. Men struggle to identify what they are feeling. And let alone articulate it. Because if you don't know how you're feeling, you can't express it. They find it very difficult. So this is not about a lack of emotion, okay? That's very, very clear. It's not about a lack of emotion. It's about a lack of practice and permission to express it. Remember where we're coming from. There hasn't been any permission to express those feelings. So it's not a lack of emotion. Emotions are there. So what? Remember also what I said. That can lead to a disconnect from one's own feelings. You're disconnected from it. It doesn't mean it's not there. You're disconnected from it because they are of no value in the way you have been taught to feel or not to feel. So, and as I said, it's not about lack of emotion. It's about a lack of practice. You haven't practiced it. They say practice make perfect. So there is something that you have mastered. It's actually to repress it. Repress it has been now something that you have been practicing because that's what you have been, oh, that's what your society expects you to as a man, as a boy. So it is the lack of practice and permission to express it. So, and we have now to look at the way how we can do that. So I remember a client before maybe I'm going to try again my guest. I remember a client, a guy, let me call him Mark. Okay. Mark. I'm giving you an example. So, but he's not Mark. Okay. And this client of mine was, okay, Mark was in his late 40s. Successful in his career, married with kids, but he was experiencing crippling anxiety attack. You know, those anxiety attacks. And he couldn't pinpoint a trigger. What is causing this? And he just felt this overwhelming sense of dread. You understand? So when we started digging, it turned out he had been stuffing down feelings of inadequacy and feeling of fear of failure for many, many, many years. Now, he had never learned to process these emotions. He never learned to process this emotion. So they just aggravated until they exploded in this panic attack. So he had been told his whole life to, you know, his whole life he has been told, like, as I said, this is what you tell men. Hey, deal with it, man. Deal with it. You know, push through. You're going to push through. Yeah? You understand? And he did. He did for years. So, but eventually the pressure, you know what is called pressure cooker. So then the pressure cooker blew. You know, the pressure cooker, then it blew up. So the first psychological challenge we often see is this limitation in emotional vocabulary and an expression. So it's not that men don't have emotions. It's that they may not have been equipped with the tools or even the space. So they may not have actually equipped with the tools or the safe space to understand and express them healthily, you know? So that we have to understand that. And now this can manifest as anger, irritability, being irritated, or even sometimes physical symptoms like headaches or digestive issues, you know? So, which are often easier to acknowledge. Those one are often easier to acknowledge than sadness, for example. You know, because sadness would be seen as a weakness or fear will sin us, you know. So we can acknowledge the headaches and things, but, you know, the underneath aspect. And as I said, we see this as limitation in emotional vocabulary. Men don't have that. You hardly find a man who is so expressive emotionally. Eh? So we are talking about men's mental health this morning on Mind Matters. And we are exploring the unique psychological, social, cultural, and economic aspect that impact men. So let's see if we can get our guest, because time is going. Let's see what if I can get her now, if she's out of the bank. All right, so I'm gonna leave you now with all right, let's get UB40 bring me your cup. All right, welcome back. Our time is about, what is the time? Our time is about 58 minutes past the hour of 11. And if you're just joining us, this is Mind Matter. And during this time, between 11 and 1 o'clock, this is the time we call Mental Health Hours. So, and
Now, I'm actually joined by our guest, and we have tried her earlier on. She was actually busy at that point in time. So she's Magdalena Di Dalerwa. She's the Senior Health Program Officer, especially focused on mental health at the Directorate of Primary Health Care at the Ministry of Health and Social Service. Good morning. Good morning, Miss Magdalena, and welcome to Mind Matters.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for having me, and good morning to all the listeners of this radio station. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I believe that yesterday was on the 10th of October. It was a World Mental Health Day on October the 10th, and Namibia normally observe a Mental Health Awareness Month. So can you share with us the significance of mental health and suicide prevention awareness month in Namibia and the Ministry of Health objectives aiming to achieving during this period? And I would ask you after this commercial quickly. We have a commercial coming up.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, the question was the significance of mental health and suicide prevention awareness months in Namibia, and what is the ministry? What is the ministry's objectives? What are you trying to achieve during this period?
Thank you so much for the question. October and September are the 2 months where we remember or where we commemorate the World Suicide Prevention Day and the World Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
Suicide being starting from the September, on the 10th of September, we commemorate the suicide prevention, and on the 10th of October, we commemorate the Mental Health Awareness Day, Commemoration Day. The significance of these two events is, these events are being commemorated worldwide, especially both of them, they are commemorated worldwide.
Yeah.
Mental health being the major challenges facing the world now. So if the listeners can remember these few years back, we really took it serious to raise awareness.
Yeah.
This is the month where the world come to kind of stand still. Mm-hmm. To just think and just review about our mental health state in our countries.
Yeah.
So Namibia, we have got some social issues which just came up.
Mm.
They have been there, but they are now on increase. Suicide being number one.
Yeah.
And then we've got road accidents. And then we have got murders. And then we have got domestic violence. All these things are now so troubling us, and they are challenging us.
Yeah.
So this year we decided now we should take our awareness level raising to another level.
Mm.
So we really want to sensitize every Namibian to just force them to listen to the message of mental health. Being in media like we are doing now, being in workplaces. Like from next Monday, we will visit all the ministries in the whole Bindkomas region, all the ministries, to just go and spread the message of mental health, especially on the theme for this year and mental health in general.
Mm.
So this, the significance of this day is just to put our awareness raising on a higher gear, on another level, just to sensitize every citizen. And the main aim is just to alert the public about the higher burden. Of course, we know they are aware of it. And then to still work on the alleviation or reduction of stigma and misunderstanding about mental health. And then, of course, to just inform the public of our policies and our systems, which we are going to employ to address the issues of suicide and mental health in general. So that's what we are doing this year.
Okay. So what are the key objectives of the ministry? Of the Ministry of Health, actually, during this awareness month, then.
And as I said, the main aim is to increase the reduction, our efforts on the reduction of the stigma.
Mm.
Like the theme for suicide is changing the narrative of suicide. Many a times we have been looking at suicide as a taboo. We don't want to talk about it much. It's a shameful thing when your family member commits suicide. The people look at you like what?
Yeah.
When you attempted suicide and you survive, people look at you like what? Even in other countries, suicide is made to be a...
What happened? Huh? So it could be that maybe the... We just lost her, so we're gonna try to catch up with her again. Okay, and I'm gonna leave you in a good hands of Alain. You give me hope.
Welcome back, and sorry we just lost her, but we got her back. So, Miss Magdalena, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, yeah, you were talking about encouraging public discourse, reducing shame associated with mental illness, and that's the question when I ask you, so what are the key objectives of the Ministry of Health now during this awareness month?
Yes. Thank you so much. So I was just saying that our main aim is to reduce the stigma and to increase awareness on mental health and suicide issues. Like I was giving the example, like when a person tried to commit suicide and by the grace of the Lord, this person survived.
Yeah.
The way we look at them after the attempt, we kind of stigmatize them. You wanted to kill yourself. Now that you did not succeed, you're asking us for water. Why didn't you finish while you wanted to die? So the way we look at the suicide issues is still stigmatized in the country. And I was just saying that even in some countries, when you attempted to commit suicide and you survive, the police will a police case will be opened against you because suicide is regarded as crime.
Yeah.
In Namibia, we are not far from that. We are still having our policies, funeral covers and medical aids who are hesitating to do the payment of someone who died by suicide. So these are the type of things which we want to reduce, type of stigma, stigma behaviors which we really want to change in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of mental health, people will think that if you have got symptoms or if you are suffering from mental illness, you are weak, you are not strong, you are not able to stand against the world. So it's this type of things that we want to reduce.
Yeah.
And of course, when a person happened to miss the prevention part, and then happen to have the symptoms, we also want the community to know there is always light at the end of the tunnel. You can live with mental health condition. You can live a positive life. You can take your medicine or go for your continuous therapies, and then you will be fine, provided that you are getting either psychological or medical treatment for mental illness, for mental health condition. This is the strong message which we want to send in our community, to know the preventative measures. What can the community do to prevent? What can we do as a country to prevent occurrences of mental health conditions? And if we happen then to fail to prevent, how do we look for treatment? How do we keep up try to live with our mental health condition in a positive way, and then after I'm diagnosed, how do I get rehabilitated? How do I get the support which I need for me to live a better life with my mental health condition?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the strong messages we want to pass to our community, to our people this year.
Okay, and you have there are some themes that you have for this year. And what are their meaning toward the Namibian citizens, those themes?
Okay, I've already touched now on the theme for the suicide, changing the narrative on suicide, starting to talk about it, working, getting away with the myth which people believe about the suicide. The theme for mental health for this year, it's saying having access to mental health services during emergencies, during catastrophic conditions, during pandemics, during crisis situations. That's the thing for this year. Mm-hmm. In Namibia, of course, the world is suffering from different catastrophes, emergencies, crises. Countries have got suffering from the war. We know them in South Sudan, DRC, Ukraine, Gaza, but we Namibians, we also have our own crises.
Yeah.
So ours can be road accidents whereby a lot of lives are being lost now in Namibia. Suicide, of course, is a crisis on its own. We have got floods, which takes place in some regions of our country. And then we have got individual crises which people are going through, gender-based violence, killings, mass murders, those ones. Those are our crises which now this theme is telling us that during this crisis and after this crisis, there's a component of mental health going on. People who are affected, the survivors, they suffer from mental health conditions, but we are not paying attention to them. The message will be that for our fellow countrymen who went through this type of crisis, for us to remember that whatever they are going through in terms of mental health is unimaginable. So we need to reach out to them. We need to take care of them. We need to think about their mental well-being.
Yeah.
That's a message for this year. And help them to get access. You see, access to mental health services. That's what the theme is saying. They should have access in terms of medical, in terms of psychosocial support. And it's a responsibility for all of us, as a nation to provide this support to them.
Yeah. Now, talking about providing support, what are some of the key initiatives or campaign that the Ministry of Health and your, maybe your stakeholders are busy now doing for mental health and suicide prevention months now to raise awareness and also promote mental well-being in Namibia?
Yeah, in the absence of adequate funding, what we came up with just to raise awareness. And of course, after the awareness, we are thinking of taking our initiatives to another level, to the extent whereby we will do trainings on mental health during mental health care during emergencies. So, but as for now, we are just raising awareness in all platforms. Like I said, from next week, we will embark upon all the ministries, and we will be on the radio, and we will be, and even in public places, whoever invites us, we go there and talk about the message. Our main aim, we want the people to be able to reach out to those who are, who have gone through crises, whether it's individual crisis, whether it's a group crisis, whether it's a what crisis, for them to be aware that these people are suffering from mental health, and you need to reach out to them. And not only during crisis, like
Magdalena, we have to pay the bills, so we have a commercial quick.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia reminds all registered voters, November 26, 2025 is the day to cast your vote. Head to the polls and exercise your democratic right by voting. Your vote is your voice, so put your voice in the box to make sure it's heard. Vote on November 26, 2025.
All right. We were talking about the key initiatives and campaign that
yes.
the Ministries of Health and your stakeholder are doing during this month of prevention, suicide prevention, and mental health. So, anything else you would like to add on what you were saying earlier?
Yeah, like on top of the the main initiative we are doing is awareness raising. Just we want people to know in terms of prevention. And in terms of supporting those who are suffering from, who are affected by mental health conditions, that is mainly the awareness raising which we want to really embark upon. And as I said, we will take our initiative to another level where we want to train all the people involved in health related matters on how to assist, on how to provide psychosocial, and how to identify and how to assist people who are affected by mental health conditions.
All right. So, and what are the major challenges or barriers faced by the Ministry of Health in promoting now mental health and suicide prevention awareness, and also providing support to individuals who may be victims in Namibia?
The main challenge is, like I mentioned, the one of the funding can be our challenge. The ministry is always struggling with funds.
Yeah.
So, and of course, our other big one is the professionals.
Yeah.
We do not have professionals to render mental health services. So that's why we want to educate every community member to have knowledge on mental health and for them to be able to assist the government in terms of intervention. Just for them to know the basic.
Yeah.
To know the basic, have the basic knowledge on mental health. And then we can all come on board and assist as a country.
So any other issues like stigma, cultural beliefs, and lack of awareness, so are those not challenges maybe that you, as a ministry, that you're facing?
Yeah, those are the ones also as part of the stigma. Culturally, like I said, culturally people still are still living in that world. that mental illness can be caused by witchcraft, it can be a curse, it can be a punishment by God. We still have elements in our society who believe like that. That's why our intervention, we want to include even the community leaders. We have designed some orientation training, basic information for our community leaders, for them to know the science behind mental illness and suicide, so that we can get away with the myth that these are caused by other factors.
Yeah, you talked earlier about a key policy. So do we have a mental health bill? And if we don't, the lack of that, how does that affect your strategic planning for suicide prevention?
Yeah, so without a guiding regulation, you may struggle to provide whatever you want to provide. That's why now at the moment we are busy reviewing our policies, mental health policy. We are working on our strategies. We are working on our mental health bill. The good news is our bill is soon to be tabled in Parliament. We hope at least this month it will be tabled in Parliament, because this is going to guide us of how well we can manage our mental health conditions in the country. So that is also a challenge. Our regulations need to be reviewed and be kept up to date with the world standard, or with what is happening now in the world, so that we can keep up with the pace of other countries.
So, yes. Okay. So, and you were saying that, you know, as an initiative, you go into the communities. How can individuals or communities or organization, you know, maybe there are some organizations who want to participate in promoting mental health and suicide prevention awareness and supporting those in need beyond now the awareness month? How can they participate, actively participate?
The Minister of Health's arms are open to anyone who writes letters to us or comes in to us. We are always embracing them with both hands. Anyone who's coming up with initiatives, we always embrace them and give them our proper support, which they may.
Your voice is a little bit deep. You're kind of like you're in the hall, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's a bit better, yeah. Mm.
Okay. Like I said, our hands are open. We are embracing any member of the public who is willing to work together with us.
Yeah.
The main assistance which we always assist with or guide with is providing experts who are coming to enlighten the community on mental health issues. Of course, most of the times we don't have funding, but we do have professionals. Should anyone need us to come and just raise awareness sessions, we are always willing to. There's teams, there are a lot of different professionals, we have the social workers, we have the psychologists, we have the occupational therapists, mental health, nurses and the psychiatrists. We are always on board and willing to embrace whoever wants to participate or just to do the awareness raising together with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that. We are always willing to do that.
Yeah. So, what are your advice or maybe recommendation would you give to individuals who may be struggling with their mental health or seeking help in Namibia?
My advice is always to say, first of all, we want to start from the beginning, from the onset, to say we need to practice prevention for ourselves, not only for others, but for ourselves. We need to live a life which is free from stresses which can expose us to mental health conditions. That's already the prevention part.
Yeah.
And then once we realize that we do have some minor symptoms developing, or you feel I'm not fine, something has changed in my emotions or in my behaviors, this is what I had to reach out to someone. I need to talk to someone, because it's very, very important to express your feelings or your unhappiness to someone. Whether he or she is going to gossip about it, it's not really a major concern for us, because we just want it to get off your chest. So, but of course, you need to choose whom whom are you comfortable with to share your emotions.
Yeah.
But we want them to know whatever you are going through, once you do not wait until it becomes worse. Whatever is developing in you, whatever you are realizing, in many a time when a person is going through a mental health condition, they don't realize it. But we are urging them now, be aware of yourself, be aware of your emotions and your behavior. If you see that something is troubling me, I'm not happy and I can't sleep anymore, as early as possible, reach out to someone. Go to the pastor, go to someone whom you think you are comfortable with, whom you think will not go and spread your story. Get it off your chest. That's a very, very important thing we want to educate. Get it off your chest. Talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Ask them if they're going to gossip about you. But it's for your well-being. All what we worry about here is your well-being.
All right.
Talk to someone here and get help which you can get as early as possible.
Okay. So, and finally, maybe your last words on these initiatives and what the ministry is doing. Anything that maybe I haven't asked you that you would like to communicate to our listeners?
We have indicated quite a lot. Maybe just to emphasize that this is now the time. We have seen what has happened in our country. It's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
We really don't know what, I know maybe it's only me, but what is happening now, every day you hear a suicide case or someone killed children, his own children. These are things beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
And we cannot fold our hands. We need to stand up and do something about it. Whether we are starting awareness raising, it's better than keeping quiet. We need to start somewhere to address or to face these challenges. I wish to make a joke that face head-on collision. As long as they are coming every day, we also need to stand up and raise awareness and educate our nation on a daily basis. We are planning to have a workshop whereby we will come up with more initiatives whereby we can reach to every Namibian and just bother them with a message of mental health. It should be every day's word in our mouth.
Yeah. So any facilities where, if anybody, say for example, any facilities that you can, you know, refer people to, those who find themselves mentally distressed?
Thank you for that question. We have got health facilities in all our communities.
Yeah.
All what we advise them is, once you realize the even minor symptoms, go to the health facility in your area, or to your private doctors who have a medical aid, or we can afford private doctor or private social worker, private psychologist. Tell them what you are going through and tell them that I need counseling, for example. Don't just say, I'm struggling to sleep and I'm not eating well and I have on and off headaches. Sometimes you just get another and they will send you back home. Tell them I'm going through this. I need to talk to someone. And then that nurse from that clinic or wherever you are now will give you a referral letter until you reach the mental health unit, if you have to reach there.
Yeah.
Because there you don't go just straight there. You go through referrals. There's a letter you need to get. If you come to that hospital, they will then screen you and see, is it a psychological problem? Is it a social worker's problem? Is it a psychiatric's problem? They will sort you out, your whole well-being. And then by the end, by the day you leave, by the time you leave the mental health, you are sorted in all areas of your life. So we advise them to really stand up as any possible and go to the health worker or a facility near you.
All right. So that was a senior health program officer. From the ministry, from the Directorate of Primary Health Care, Minister of Health and Social Service, Magdalena Didalera. Thank you for coming through and giving us, you know, some information on especially the significance of mental health and suicide prevention awareness month, in Namibia. So, and also the objective that the ministry is trying to achieve. Thank you for coming through on Mind Matters.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and thank you to the listeners for listening to me. Thank you so much.
All right. So have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. As we say, that was
That was a senior health program officer, Magdalena Di Dalerwa, from the Ministry of Health. All right, let's have a quick commercial, and then we will continue from there. Well, let's have Bob Marley, Turn Your Lights Down Low, featuring Laurie Hills.
Turn your lights down low and pull your window curtain. Oh, let your moon come shining in into our life again. Yeah, you know, ooh, it's been a long, long time. But it seemed I was never on time. Still I wanna get through to you, girl, on time, on time. Wow. I want to give you some love. I want to give you some good, good love. Down low, never, never try to resist. Oh no,
nah, nah, nah.
Oh, let your love come shining in,
nah, nah, nah.
Into our lives again.
Every 3 minutes and 30 seconds of every day, and every chorus was written for us to recite, right. Every beautiful melody of devotion every night, this potion might, this ocean might carry me in the wave of emotion to ask you to marry me. In every word, every second and every third expresses a happiness more clearly than ever heard. And when I play them, every chord is a poem telling the Lord how grateful I am, cause I know him. The harmonies possess a sensation similar to your caress. If you asking and I'm telling you it's yes.
Yes, yes.
Stand in love, take my hand in love, God bless.
Right,
yes,
right.
Yes.
I want to give you some good, good loving. I want to give you some love.
Well, I want to give you some good, good loving, and that's Bob Marley, Turn Your Light Down Low, featuring Lauryn Hill. So, yeah, welcome back. So, we just concluded that discussion with Miss Magdalena Di Dalerwa, the senior officer in the Ministry of Health and Social Service, special focusing on mental health. So you know that what she said is that, you know, September is recognized as a suicide prevention awareness month, with the World Suicide Prevention Day observed annually on September the 10th. And October is observed as a mental health awareness month. So September is a suicide prevention awareness month, and October is the mental health awareness month, with a World Mental Health Day on October 10th. That was yesterday. Now, these months are dedicated to raising awareness. You know, she also mentioned breaking the stigma, promoting mental health and suicide prevention effort in Namibia. And definitely it's happening worldwide as well. So now, throughout these months, individuals, organizations, and communities come together to break down the stigma associated with mental health challenges, promote open conversations, you know, as she was saying, that maybe mental health are issues that are not spoken openly. So promote that open conversations and advocate for accessible, quality mental health care for all people. So now, so these initiatives serves as a vital, you know, reminder that mental health is as important as physical health. So, and we should take it as such. It is as important as physical health, and that by fostering now supportive environment, providing necessary resources, we can collectively work towards preventing suicide, and also ensuring that everyone has an opportunity to thrive. So, well, the goal in the end is actually to ensure that every individual, regardless of their socioeconomic status, background, or geographic location, it doesn't matter where you're from, everyone has equitable access to the support, treatment, and resources they need to navigate mental health challenges effectively. So, yeah, that was all. That was the discussion, basically, that we have with Ms. Magdalena Didalirwa, the senior health program officer in the Directorate of Primary Health Care. So thanks for joining us, Ms. Didalirwa, and for the information that you have given us. So yes, welcome back. You know, you're welcome also to come through if there is something that you actually want to either to ask or to say your own experience of what you're going through, or what you see around you and the impact of mental health challenges have on your community, on your society, on yourself, on your family. So please do come through and share your experience, because experience always give us a bigger picture and a realistic, and help us to look at issues like this on a more realistic way. So, but my focus has been, as much as we're looking at that, I wanted to be more specific, and we, on my part, we're looking at the mental health, as we're looking at mental health this morning here on Mind Better. So we are exploring, we looked at already the unique psychological aspect, you know, facet, and also we're going to look at social, cultural, economic aspect that impact, especially when it comes to men. So, and my pick of this was men, and yeah, so, and if you're just tuning in, well, stick around, because this conversation definitely is for everyone. So we're going to come back after this song by Shenshi, Hit and Run, featuring Maska and D Genius. Mm-hmm.
and run. Me give a hit and run. Me did only one little dealing. Nobody that look at must sit down. Me give a hit and run. Me give a hit and run. Hey, my youth, you take it too serious. Give a little piece, just a little feel up. Now you take a set up and me a eat up. Give me space, give me room, give me a little breeze now. Jesus, I will make you feel so. Throw me keep it tight and me ever clean so. Want me did want you, me never need you. This enough for people know, keep it on a deal. I'm too young to let down with nobody. I pray one day somebody keep your company. And a girl like me just want have fun and more money. But you a free relationship and that's a no for me.
Alright, that's Hit and Run by Shansir and featuring Masika and DeGenius. So welcome back. And so we continue our time. It's about, where is my time? So it's about 41 minutes past the hour of 12. And yeah, so I want us to look at now, we looked at the psychological factors when it comes to men, and I want us to look at I want us to shift a little bit gears to the social and cultural factors, because this is a big one. Okay, this is a big one. So the men box, as some call it, you know, in some society, the men box. It is a powerful cultural construct. Okay? So remember what we're talking about. So remember what I said earlier on. Why are we talking about mental health? Especially men mental health. As I said, look, being men, we are brought up differently. So the makeup, the what made us up, you know, that determined in the way how we express ourselves or the lack of expressing ourselves. So, and we talk about that in psychological one. So now I want to talk about this now, the man box, you know, as I said, this is the, it's a powerful cultural construct. So, because it dictates that men should be, you know, now this is not what we are boxed in. Well, you remember, because what I'm talking about, we are boxing to be, you know, that man box dictate that men should be what? Should be tough, should be independent, should be dominant, should be rational, sexually manly, you understand? You know, sexually manly. All those traits, all those kind of quality. So that's a man box. And in that box, there is a little room in this box for vulnerability. You know, in that room, in that box, there's a little, or there's nothing at all for being vulnerable, for admitting you need help, or for expressing anything that could be perceived as softness. So in that man box, you can't be vulnerable. You can't be, you know, you can't ask for help, because that's an indication that you are weak, and you can't express any kind of behavior that could be perceived as softness. Now, so those are some of the, and when we approach mental, for me, as I said, I like always to talk about, you know, this process in your mind based on your culture, on your social factors and psychological factor, because when you're approaching a man and you want the, Magdalena was talking about educating people, you have to understand what is their cultural construct. So what is in that box, in that man box for this individual in this culture? You know, in this culture, in a Herero culture, in a Nama culture, in you know, Shuambo culture, in Okavango culture. So what is in the man box for this particular individual, for this man? Remember, there are be tough, be independent, dominant, rational, whatever, sexually manly, and so many other things. And in that box, there's little no room. There is little room in this box. Even maybe there's nothing at all for being vulnerable. In some people, there's no room at all for being vulnerable, for being, you know, for admitting you need help, and for expressing anything that could make people think that you are soft. So you're coming from that. That's what I want you now to think. That's what I want you now to, as a man and as a woman, to understand. Now think about the pressure now. The pressure to be, and I'm going to put it this way. Think about the pressure to be the sole provider. Okay? As an example. For generations, this has been a cornerstone of male identity. Okay? As a provider. A sole provider. You are the sole provider of your family. Yeah, and even as a societal role evolve, even if the societal, the role have evolved within the society, this expectation has remained. No matter what, we still be expected to be a sole provider. So now, a man might feel immense, immense pressure to be the breadwinner. So, to be the breadwinner, if now, let's say for example, now he loses his job or struggle financially, it can feel like a direct, now that can feel like a direct attack on his manhood. Believe me. So, it can feel like an attack, a direct attack on his manhood. Because that's part of your identity, being a male. You know, and that I said, for generations, this has been a cornerstone of a male identity, to provide. And when you don't, you become irrelevant. First of all, you lose respect, even the people around you. And that's why it's an immense pressure for a man, because even people around you, they stop respecting you. Because even children or men or women, this is what they expect. This is what they expect. Look at what happened. Look at what happened to so many men that actually lost their job. Relations become, you know, broke up. Relations actually broke up because, you know, first of all, you have, as I said, this is a direct attack on your manhood. Because your identity is more like, this is a male identity. You're meant to provide. You're meant to protect. Eh? So, and if these are taken from you, you actually become nobody, and that's and I think and that's contribute to many of the mental conditions and challenges that men are going through. And we have to rethink. So the thing is that we now have to rethink how we define our male identity. Is it solely dependent on you being providing? Or we need to look at this differently? So, and this can lead now when and this whole thing can lead actually to, first of all, shame. You know, you're no longer the same you used to be. You're not even, you know, coming to social gathering that people that you used to, even with your fellow people. You used to hang out with some other guys now that you don't do anymore because you feel ashamed. You feel as if you lose something. You know, we have to understand where is the man coming from if we want to be effective in what we do when it comes to mental health. So you become isolated. So, and the other thing, as I said, you may actually reluctant also to seek support. Now, whether that could be financial assistance or crucially for mental toll that jobs loss takes. So these are factors that we have to understand about men when it comes to issue of mental health. When it comes to culturally, we often see men's mental health struggles framed in terms of externalizing behaviors rather than actually internalize distress. I'm going to explain what do I mean by that. Now, so what do you call a man? Let's say, for example, a man who drinks too much. So how do you, when I said you're framed in terms, those struggles are framed in terms of externalizing behavior rather than internal distress, is that we look at the man who drinks too much might be seen as actually a heavy drinker. The men who drink actually too much is maybe seen, that guy drink too much. But we don't see them as someone who actually struggling with depression or anxiety. So why does he drink too much? So there could be underlying factors, which could be actually a depression, which could be actually anxiety, you know. So, but we're looking at, that's why I said it's framed as an intent in terms of externalizing behavior. Oh, no, he's a heavy drinker. So we look at him as a heavy drinker, but we don't realize that on the face of drinking, this person could be struggling with depression, could be struggling with stress and anxiety. So, and a man who, let's say for example, someone who busts out, you know, really just busts out, he might be seen as hot-headed, you know, could be referred as hot-headed, rather than someone who has lost control due to overwhelming stress. You cannot just bust out. So, but we look at them, he's hot-headed, he's just short-tempered and things like that. You understand? So rather than actually, you know, someone who actually lost control, that person actually lost control because they are overwhelmed by stress. They are overwhelmingly stressed. So you understand? So we tend to more to frame, you know, this kind of behavior externally rather than actually what is really going on with this person. So now we need to start actually looking beyond the surface behavior and ask what is really going on underneath. What is really, really going on underneath? So, and here is where we can all play a part. Something also Magdalene actually mentioned. So as a friend, a partner or a colleague, you know, are we creating a space where now men feel safe to be less than perfect. Remember what I said earlier on. You are expected to be perfect. You are expected to compete in every aspect. That's what we are expected as men, to compete and be perfect. Be better than the other man. Always have a better house than the other one, have a better car than the other one, have a better... If we are competitive, our life, it's in a competitive mode. It's in its nature, we are competitive. Have a better woman than the other, have more money than the other, have, you know. Even if we don't say it, that is in our nature. So now, what I'm asking is that, are we creating now space? So because we are just on a running mode, we are just on a competitive mode. So we don't create a space where now men feel safe to be less. That even if you're not perfect, if you're not, don't have money, more money than the other, if you don't, you know, you still, you don't lose any identity. You don't lose your manhood. And there's some of these aspects that are actually leading to thoughts, to societal thoughts, and also people attempt to do that. So are we quick to offer, you know, maybe just handshake and, hey, chin up, man, hey, get over it? Or are we willing to sit with them, with anyone, listen without judgment, and offer genuine support? That's what we need to do, because this has become absolutely a crisis. So this is something, and the things like that are understated, really understated. So the crucial difference is here, and I want you to, I think if you don't pick it up, the crucial difference is here. It's about shifting from culture of fixing, you know, we kind of like, we need to fix, you know, we need to fix, to a culture of connecting, you know. So that's the shift that we need to make. From fixing to connecting. So, well, we are, if you're just joining us, we are diving deep into men's mental health on Mind Matter. And if you are a man listening, I want you to know that your feelings are valid. Whatever you're going through, it's valid. And the other aspect, which also Magdalena have mentioned, seeking help is a sign of incredible strength. So it's not a weakness. All right? If you know a man who might be struggling, consider this your gentle push to reach out. You know, consider what I'm telling you, a gentle push. I'm just pushing you, you know, to start reaching out. So we still have about, how many minutes? We still have about 4 minutes. Okay. So let's talk about economic realities that can impact men's mental well-being as well. So as I touched on earlier, the pressure to provide can be immense. You know, it can be immense. In many society, there's still a societal expectation that men will be the primary earners, carrying the financial burden for their family. Now, so imagine in a man in a traditionally male-dominated industry, you know, like manufacturing or construction, facing layoff. He might have spent his entire adult life in that role. Not only is he losing his income, but he is also potentially losing his sense. And this is what I was saying. He's also potentially losing his sense of identity and purpose. Huh? So, and when people left, for example, when they are laid off, there's nothing done. They never given counseling. They never given any. They were never even prepared, you know. So, and really, people, we attach ourselves to what we do. You are a teacher. You are whatever. You are a doctor. You are what you more. Your identity is what you do. And once you lose that identity, and you lose the purpose, you know, in life. So the economic insecurity can really trigger profound anxiety and depression. So this man might feel ashamed to admit he is struggling to make ends meet. You know, fearing he could be fearing that he's failing his family. And in most cases, that's the case. And this can lead to immense stress. So, and that could also impact, we talked about earlier on breaking up of relationship, that can impact his relationship and overall, and his now overall mental health. So, and I want us to understand that context. And furthermore, the economic disparity can create additional layers of stress. So when we have economic downturns, the rising of, you know, cost of living, you know, can extremely, extremely affect, you know, men in certain sectors. And that can be, sometimes that can lead to, you know, that's why you see men, quite a lot of men now, if you go into this sport bet, you know, that's gambling. That's why you see, you know, as I said, this can, the economic turndown, downturn, and definitely the cost of living, it does affect a lot of men. And that leads to what? You see them go into the gambling sport sectors, I mean sport bet. The papers in that, oh man. So, and the people in there, well, women as well, but so that's also that leading, it's leading them to substance use, you know, and other coping mechanism that, while perhaps offering a temporary relief at that point in time, this can exacerbate a long-term mental health, definitely mental health issue. So it is crucial to recognize that economic struggles are not just about numbers on, you know, on your payslip, on a balance sheet. So they have really profound psychological consequences. So, and when a man are culturally conditioned to be, you know, stoic, to be self-reliant, admitting they need help, whether it's a financial advice or mental health support, can feel like an insurmountable challenge, really. So, and we are well into our discussion on men's mental health, on Mind Matter here today. And our time is already 1 minute past the hour of one. So, yeah, and that brings us definitely to the end of our program. There were practical things that I wanted to talk to you about, in terms of now what should we do? So unfortunately, we don't have much time anymore. So, all right. So that's bring us to the end of our Mind Matter this Saturday. Let's do this again next week. Hopefully on a different topic. And, I'll leave you to the hands of the Madam Elizabeth with Elizabeth Walt. She's coming up right now. So goodbye from myself, Michael Chavelli. Until next time.
Omutia with the Kirakaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafata Nana Longishifa, yai Shivita Moshiwana. E Moyao, Otaingo Tamwini. Ana Gishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yue yongeshefa yue kupitira mo Igele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki ui mepo.
Yebi.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM.